You're listening to the Youth Critic Podcast on KHZ Network. Find us on Facebook at DecibelUNG Radio and find us on Twitter at DecibelUNG. If you like this episode, please leave a like and comment on our iTunes page at KHZ Network. David Batson. And now for the podcast.
As champion, say my name so my powers will become yours. Shazam.
Wait, for real?
Say it, okay?
Say my name.
Crazy, right?
What are your superpowers?
Superpowers, dude? I don't even know how to pee in this thing.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Youth Critic Reacts. I am your host, Gail Smith, and today we are going to be looking at Shazam and the DCEU at this current point. So, as many of you have probably understated, we are now 3 years after Zack Snyder's magnus opus, the magnus opus of magnus opuses that Zack Snyder could possibly create. We are at 3 year mark after Batman v Superman, and it's been an interesting 3 years since Zack Snyder's take on Batman and Superman and their clash. And ultimately what was supposed to be the kickoff of his DC cinematic universe run for at least until Justice League 3 at this point. So how's the DCEU been the last 3 years? So the way to look at the DCEU is after or post Batman v Superman is we've had some other films come out directed by different people, particularly David Ayer, Patty Jenkins, James Wan, and David F. Sandberg now with Shazam. And all of these movies have one common problem that is actually now at this point pretty defining of the DCEU, and it probably will be for the time being, and that is these movies are structurally a mess and tonally inconsistent, and they feel very much, especially in the wake of Batman v Superman, which was just one tone and still structurally a mess. It still feels like the DCEU has trouble with tone and structure, in that it's, especially with Justice League, Aquaman, and Shazam, where all three movies feel like like the director wasn't quite sure what movie to make, what kind of movie to make. So all of the movies feel like spaghetti being thrown at a wall to see what stuck. And while Aquaman and Shazam we don't really know what the success box office for Shazam is yet, but we do have an indicator that Shazam and Aquaman have been more successful because they kind of lean more into a more fun, less dour tone. While Justice League never really had a shot because everyone just kind of assumed it would be a, you know, cinematic disaster, especially after Zack Snyder had left in the middle of post, and thus that kind of created the little campaign that could release the Snyder Cut campaign, which in itself is all but ridiculous. So as Shazam does the early, or Fandango does the early screenings, for Shazam this past weekend, also SnyderCon was going on at the same time. Which, for those who don't know, it was a 3-day event where every, like, evening, Zack Snyder and members of the cast and crew would come and talk about each film, and those movies were 300, Watchmen, and Batman v Superman, the Ultimate Cut. And in each movie, Snyder would kind of talk about the behind the scenes and kind of talk about what, you know, his feelings were of the movie. It was a very, you know, as someone who was just kind of watching it unfold on Twitter, it seemed like a very honest weekend and a very much like, you know, a coming to Jesus moment for Snyder as he was like just talking about his career up to this point and more elaborated more on his DCEU plans after post Batman v Superman, not post Justice League, but post Batman v Superman, and talked about like how some of the changes happened and also kind of commented on some of the controversy that surrounded Batman v Superman and whatnot. So the comment that's been going around and the one that I kind of tweeted about is the one quote that's in all of it, the headlines is Zack Snyder tells fans grow the fuck up, as I do air quotes. And the reason why this is, you know, and interesting enough, so the quote, I won't go through the entire quote, but so essentially, and I'll link the, you know, the IO9 period gizmo article that created the whole, basically kind of snowballed the whole Twitter trend. However, the problem with Snyder's universe is not even, you know, Snyder's per se. It was always, you know, a combination of Warner Brothers trying to be different than Marvel and trying to re-engineer Marvel's cinematic universe design, the cinematic universe's plan. And then also, but also as you look at, you know, not only Batman v Superman, but Suicide Squad, both movies have this problem of, we have characters that are, you know, we're watching characters in situations where we needed like a whole trilogy from each of them in order to understand their motives, what they're thinking about, what they're doing, and why are they doing it. So when we see, you know, Batman Old Man Batman in Batman v Superman, we're basically missing out on an entire trilogy of how we got to this point where Batman is now a ruthless, abusive father type super vigilante. We're missing that and honestly, you know, the whole Batman killing people. First of all, we can't be like, well, Batman doesn't kill people because Tim Burton's Batman killed people. Joel Schumacher's Batman killed Two-Face. And then in Batman Begins, Nolan's Batman is sort of responsible for Ra's al Ghul's death. So pretty much every iteration, Batman kills somebody. So whatever. Who cares? But the issue isn't that Snyder's not, you know, willing to listen. He's actually listened to a lot. And if you go back through all the tweets and basically just go through the hashtag on Twitter of the SnyderCon and look at more of the quotes from SnyderCon that have come out, it seems like, you know, Snyder has become more open and more willing to listen to people. I think it's more of, it sounds to me like it's more of a, he's tired of just hearing about Batman v Superman. I mean, it's been 3 years and he's still getting, you know, a mixture of shit and good praise for this movie that essentially made him change his entire vision for his own DCEU for maybe the better. Who knows? Who knows it would have been a better situation or not? So, in a way, I mean, he's ready to move on. I mean, he's doing another, like, zombie apocalyptic movie for Netflix, you know, this summer. And so, yeah, he's ready to move on. And but people are still like, release the Snyder Cut. Or people are still talking about Batman v Superman. That's how controversial Batman v Superman is. We're still, after 3 years, we're still commenting on if Batman should have been a killer or not. We're still commenting on, you know, on Superman's, you know, lack of personality in that, in both Man of Steel and Batman v Superman. We're still talking about these very things 3 years later. For better or worse, Snyder made a movie that has kept people talking. It's just, I think, in Snyder's defense, he was hoping for a better response and a better outcome than what had happened after Batman v Superman. And on top of that, his universe kind of is still being retroactively redone. I mean, ever since Batman v Superman, I mean, Justice League has become multiple different entities, you know, to the point where it even has no identity because there, it's one of those weird things when you have so many things happening and so many different tonal inconsistencies, so many story problems, so many issues. Justice League basically had become a movie with no identity. Which is the reason why no one's talking about it. And on top of that, the reason why... So, I feel Snyder a little bit, and I also am ready to move on. I mean, if for whatever reason they somehow, you know, unveil a Snyder cut down the road, or even like a director or extended cut of Justice League down the road, I mean, I'll still watch it. I'm very interested in seeing what, you know, the movie could have been if it even... Because there was an even completely different... Because you have to... Hold on. You have to realize, listeners, there was even a cut that Joss Whedon had made for himself that was going to be, you know, his version that was worked in with Snyder's version. And even that got cut down by like 20-25 minutes. So it would have been interesting. So I would be even interested in seeing more, because my biggest issue with Justice League is it felt so cut down to the point where it felt like a highlight reel of a much better movie. So now you're probably asking, what does this have to do with Shazam or the DCEU going forward? So, interesting enough, as Shazam comes out, Kevin Shahara, who was the CEO, big honcho at Warner Brothers, who had basically been the spearheader of the DCEU up until recently. Like, when I mean recently, I don't mean like after his departure. I mean, after Justice League, he basically was... Walter Amada essentially, you know, took the reins away and was like, no, I'm going to take it on. I'll be the sole executive in charge of, like, making sure, you know, everything works story-wise and whatnot. And even with Armada still involved, the DCEU is still in flux because... Shazam and Aquaman were created under the guise of Geoff Johns and John Berg. And also Wonder Woman 1984 was also made under the Geoff Johns, John Berg umbrella. So we won't really see what Hermata's effects are until we see Joker and then Birds of Prey and then the Batman movie and the Suicide Squad movie in multiple years from now. So it's going to be a long time before we get anything. Other than... also, what I will say about the DCEU at this point is... I'm really happy that now Kevin Shahara is gone. Because to me, Warner Brothers' DCEU has kind of been indicative... It's been indicative of Warner Brothers for a very long time. Because the thing that has kept Warner Brothers, like, in second or third place of the box office in yearly earnings is because they keep hiring their same staple of successful directors like Christopher Nolan, Clint Eastwood, David Yates, J.K. Rowling, even Zack Snyder. They keep hiring their staple of filmmakers, and their filmmakers still are being big draws, but once, but let's say, like, you know, once, you know, what's stopping from Nolan from making a movie with Sony, or David Yates going off and after this Harry Potter, after this, you know, Fantastic Beasts saga is done, or when he's done with it, why don't he just go off and do a project for Paramount or even Disney? So the moment, you know, they start losing their kind of flagship filmmakers, that's when, you know, I think WB will be in big trouble. And now that, you know, there will be new blood, the only criticism, the only thing I can recommend for Warner Brothers to do is to try and create franchises and try to create new filmmakers that will come in and bring their own visions and bring, you know, their own sensibilities to make more successful movies. Anything else? Oh yeah, Shazam. So I got to see the Shazam movie via Vandango Early Access. And it was good. It was good. So here's the reason. So my thing with Shazam, and I mentioned this early at the beginning of the episode, is that Shazam kind of has the same problem that Aquaman has, in that it feels like a lot of spaghetti is being thrown at the wall, and which causes some tonal inconsistencies and some jarring structural issues. It feels like there are things even missing that should be building up to a big thematic point at the end of the movie, but doesn't really land. But that thematic point doesn't land because we spent so much time watching Zachary Levi, you know, do scenes of him with superpowers as a kid. You know, and that's kind of my issue with the movie, is that it feels like a movie that was test screened a lot, and test screened to the point where, you know, everyone would walk out of this movie at least very much loving it and having a good time. And that's like the worst case scenario, is at least you just had a fun time watching it. But that doesn't make a really great movie, and it still shows the weakness in your universe when the first two, like, successful movies post Snyderverse is that both movies have structural problems and tonal inconsistencies. I mean, Shazam goes from a movie where it's full-fledged gothic horror in one scene, and then the next it's, you know, comedic with Zachary Levi, and then the next moment it's Gargoyles it's Gargoyles with the villain, and then it's back to Shazam, but then it goes back to gothic horror, and then goes back to high school. So it's a lot of different movies crammed into a 2 hour and 10 minute movie. Also, the movie goes on, I think, way too long, but in a way that where the scenes still go on and stuff happens and stuff gets kind of dropped and forgotten about. Other than like some important thematic arcs, like there, the whole subplot, Billy Batson and his, mother that he's been missing from for, you know, 12 years. And that's its own story. And it's just kind of an odd mixture. But with that said, though, that's only my problems with the movie. The movie is still, I still very much like Shazam. I still think Shazam is another great step forward in the DCEU in that we kind of need these movies to be fun. We kind of need something to kind of, you know, some littleness with the kind of, you know, water down the dourness of the DCEU that what came before. And on top of that, Shazam's premise should be lighthearted and should be comedic. It shouldn't be dark and scary and grim, where characters hate each other and whatnot. So that shouldn't have been Shazam. Shazam is perfect in what it's trying to do. It's lighthearted. It's still family friendly. The kid actors are really good. And honestly, I think Zachary Levi just gives a really good earnest performance as a 15-year-old kid who's given the power to look like a 30-year-old muscled adult with superpowers. And does tackle into some of that what that responsibility means and what, you know, it should be. I kind of like the movie for being fun and lighthearted for 2 hours and 12 minutes. However, it really does want to make its dramatic arcs with the Foster family work, even though we spend approximately less than 15-20 minutes in the house, in the entire movie. But other than that, I mean, Shazam is a fun movie. I'll have more to talk about it later. Especially when we get to spoilers, but other than that, I thought it was fun. I don't love it all the way through. And I'll probably see it again before I do the actual podcast discussion with other people on it. But other than that, I thought, Shazam was just okay. It's still fun. Like, I can't stress this enough. It's still a fun movie to watch. Most people will walk in and go, it's a fun movie to watch. It's good. A lot of people were entertained in my screening. However, by the end, I was still like, I need more of this Foster family. I need more of the Incredibles, but with this Foster family. Other than that, that's all I have for Shazam till the spoiler review, which will come out some point the weekend of April 5th, or maybe even that following Monday or Tuesday. Other than that, that's all I got for Shazam. That's all I got for the DCEU. And I'm sure we'll have more to discuss on the DCEU at this point when we do that episode. But I just wanted to kind of share my comments, share some of what I feel about the DCEU at this point. And that's all I got. So thanks everyone for listening to the Youth Critic Reacts. You can follow me on Twitter at MovieKale. You can also follow the show at The Youth Critic, and then you can also follow the channel that distributes this podcast at KHC Network. Thanks everyone. We'll be back with you soon with something. I don't know. Anyway, the Us podcast is up. Go listen to that.
This is proof of authenticity. Super strength. Electricity manipulation. Hyperspeed.
I'd like to purchase some of your finest beer, please.
His name
is Captain Sparklefingers.
No, it's not. That's not my name.
Chosen one.
Oh, you're like a bad guy, right?
You literally did the opposite of what a superhero is supposed to do.
You're him. You're the hero.
You're welcome for not getting robbed.
I'm Batman.
Get him, Batman!
How old are you?
Basically 15.
Did you see that?
Yeah, you electrocuted a bus and almost killed these people.
And then I caught it!
You can leave tall buildings in a single bound.